my pal, Jim Bohannon. Speaking of my friends, we lost one, Betty White, just short of her 100th birthday. I'm sure most of you heard about it. Dean Richards eloquently spoke about it. We heard highlights of listeners asking Betty questions with Dean. I interviewed Betty White many, many times over the years, and we're going to hear a few of those clips after 12:30. Jim Bohannon, did you ever have the opportunity to speak with Betty White?
I did. It's been at least 20 years, maybe longer, but I remember I have a picture of her in our studios with a puppy dog. She was, of course, extolling the virtues of humane treatment for animals, but it was a great, fun interview, and of course she was witty and charming and all the things we expect of Betty White. So yes, I had the one opportunity, and it was great.
Yeah, and you always remember, I mean, here you interview so many celebrities, and I'm sure you remember most of them, but not details. With Betty White, somehow you do remember, and whenever she came to town, or even if not, she'd want to talk to me. Why? I will explain after 12:30. There is no explanation for Jim Bohannon. As again, I try to
That's true.
Yes.
Many have said that, and they've been correct. There's no explanation for me.
Who has heard on WGN? Jim, you've covered Washington, D.C. You've covered the news for a very long time. I will not say how many years. Has this been the most interesting year between the pandemic, between extreme politics, between crazy weather happening and all the other stories that have occurred, a stock market that looks like a roller coaster? Has it been one of the crazier years ever?
Well, it certainly has been for me. I have spent some time in recent years comparing it to the discord and disorder of 1968, with, of course, the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy, mm-hmm. and then the Democratic Convention in Chicago. But I think that on the whole, it probably exceeds even 1968. I believe the past year would have to be considered, and the one before it, probably as years the most divisive in this country since the American Civil War.
And the pandemic, I suppose, exacerbated that. You mentioned Civil War. There are people that are saying, seriously, academians, not just crazy folks who call radio stations. And by the way, if you're one of those crazy folks, join us, 312-981-7200. You can text or call your comments or questions for Mr. Bohannon. But people have actually said we could have another civil war. Do you think that's a bit too extreme, or is it possible?
That's a little extreme, yes. I don't think you're going to see a physical conflict. I think that there are going to be efforts of a more peaceful nature, such as, for example, have you ever heard of greateridaho.org?
Is it about potatoes?
No, it's not about potatoes, actually. It's about the notion that the easternmost counties of the states of Oregon and Washington and the northernmost counties of the state of California do not like the liberal leadership of those states, and they want to become part of the state of Idaho. And there is an
wow.
effort. This can be done. It's in the Constitution. It would require the approval of both states, the states gaining counties and the states losing counties, plus the approval of Congress. And but it is an effort underway, and there will be some things put on ballots to try and make this happen, so the state of Idaho could advance southwestward and westward into northern California, eastern Oregon, and eastern Washington. And I think you might see more of that. It wouldn't surprise me if, for example, downstate Illinois took a liking to joining, let's say, such reddish states as, say, Missouri or Kentucky or Iowa or Indiana, even. I mean, you could see such efforts being made. Whether that they happen or not, I don't know. But actually, all-out warfare, I mean, let's not confuse ourselves here. I don't think that's likely at all. But some kind of shifting of boundary lines is quite possible. Let's not forget, in 1860, there was easy geography. There were slave states, and those states, there was an easy line to be drawn, or a variety of lines. It could have been the Ohio River over to the Mississippi. As it turned out, it wasn't quite that far north. But here, the division line in the country today is urban and rural. And the simple fact is you couldn't make a country out of every urban area in the country being strung together by some map of spider webs. there's no easy way to divide up such a country.
Well, we're going to find out what Jim Bohannon's top news stories of 2021 were. Jim, you know what I'm about to say, something like when we come back on WGN.
When we come back.
Yeah, I knew you'd know. It is now 12:17 on WGN. It is Steve Dale on WGN 1219, the guy for all night owls. You know him. He's here, right now. And that is Jim Bohannon, proving he can be awake during the day. Hi, Jim.
Hey, it's so bright out. What is this brightness? What is that?
And actually, in Chicago, it is sunny out. We've not seen the sun for a while. So I have a text question for you that I find fascinating. What do you think the role of the media shaping news stories in 2021 was? And I want to add on to that question here for you. When you began in journalism, guys like Walter Cronkite, I don't believe shaped news stories. You didn't hear their opinions so much on the air. They reported the news. I mean, I can argue maybe what they report to us, yes, maybe they wouldn't have reported a story for 40 seconds if they felt a certain way about the story or were more liberal or conservative or whatever. But overall, they weren't offering editorials. Today, unless you watch News Nation, that's all you hear. You hear one way or the other their views on things. Do you think, adding on to the question the listener is asking, do you think that shapes the news?
Well, I think that what we are seeing is a simple response to demand. Supply has answered demand. The public wants not only now to be familiar with the details of news, but they would like it pre-digested. This is for a variety of reasons. One is validation, quite honestly, the fact that it's helpful to people to know there are others who agree with me that the Earth is flat or whatever their viewpoint might be. In days gone by, of course, if you believed the Earth was flat, then you were pretty lonely. But these days, you can go on social media and you can probably find several hundred flatlanders out there. And that's one reason why we like our news pre-digested. Is validation. The other is, quite frankly, and this does not apply to everybody, but it applies to some, laziness. It's a lot easier to have an opinion if it is laid out for you beforehand without you actually having to take raw facts and formulate your own opinion. So, yes, they're seeing a lot of that. And furthermore, those who have tried to hew a straightforward path, with the exception, of course, of the WGN television offering, which I am very happy to hear is doing so well, but mostly those products have not fared well. The MSNBCs and the Fox Newses of the world have tended to answer the call, and it is a public demand. Sure, the public complains about it, but they're not complaining about people who are putting the news together for them. They're complaining about those other folks.
I don't completely agree. I think once people find products like News Nation, it's a matter of finding it, and then we're all creatures of habit, right? So if it's set on our TV or that's the station you go to, I think people are yearning for less divisiveness. Now, maybe I'm being Pollyannish about that, but that is my hope anyway. Of all the news stories in 2021, can you give us a couple that you think rise to the top of your list?
Oh, absolutely. Without question, the pandemic. There were a lot of big news stories, and some of them got subordinated in the year in which this remained the story. I mean, think back a year ago. Think back to the end of 2020, heading into 2021. Boy, it was going to be great when this pandemic was over this coming year. Well, 2021 is gone, and it certainly ain't over. So, yeah, the pandemic was the big story, and of course the reaction to that, the various variants of that Delta and Omicron, or as I call it, the oh my God. but in any event, yeah, that was the big story. Certainly, other stories high on the list would have to include the Biden administration's battles with Republicans over spending and the like, the Afghanistan withdrawal, the southern border crime in our streets. Schools versus parents, and of course a preview of perhaps of the 2022 midterm elections with the 2021 elections in, well, across the country in a variety of races, Virginia and New Jersey, of course, at the gubernatorial level. So there were a lot of big stories this past year. Some years were kind of dull. Certainly you cannot accuse 2021 of being dull.
True enough. Do you think the president is going to rise and fall with the coronavirus? So in other words, if it's under control, his credit, his fault, he plays no role in it. It doesn't much matter. the way the coronavirus goes is, and the epidemic goes, the way that our president goes?
I think that he has faced a lot of problems. I mean, there are a few issues on which the right and the left agree, but one is that President Biden has had an abysmal first year of performance. They differ on why. Of course, the right is unhappy with him pushing the most leftward agenda of any president in American history. The left is unhappy with him because he hasn't pushed it very effectively. In fact, in many ways, I suppose conservatives could be quite pleased with President Obama in that he has been so completely, Biden, and he's been so completely inept at adopting that. I mean, an Obama who has, by the way, publicly warned the far left, you're pushing too far, you're pushing too fast. And I think that he might have been more successful at adopting this. But, of course, like the children that they are, the AOCs and Ilhan Omars of the world and the like, want everything now because they're so obviously morally and intellectually superior to everybody else. And they overlooked that pesky thing called elections. The public does not agree with them. And of course, you've got probably no more than three dozen congressional districts in the country where people like AOC or Omar could win election. And they act as though every Democrat is in a similar situation. Well, they're not. Most Democrats run in seats where you had better try to have some appeal across party lines. And for some reason, the left seems, happy with the notion that we'll destroy the Democratic Party. It'll be a shell of its former self, but we'll be running it. I don't understand that. I mean, apparently the phrase half a loaf does not mean anything to them because they're capable of getting half a loaf. But they're not capable of getting the entire socialist agenda right at this moment. And it's just bizarre to me, the arrogance that many of those people have shown. I mean, in fact, I'm joined in that by a person who does not often agree with me, Hillary Clinton, who is now making noises like she will run in 2024. Personally, by the way, I don't think either the names Biden or Harris will be on the Democratic ticket in 2024. But Hillary is running now as a more centrist, if you will, a quasi-Joe Manchin alternative to the far left. That'll be interesting to watch.
Do you think, really, Hillary Clinton will run?
I think that she's certainly making noises like she may, absolutely. And at this moment, I would have to say that on balance, given the power vacuum, I don't think there's any way in the world that the Democratic Party renominates Joe Biden. I think that, sometime after the debacle of the 2022 midterms, where Republicans will take the House in a landslide and the Senate, too, probably by three or four seats, that there will be a delegation that will go to Dr. Jill Biden. It'll be White House staffers and cabinet members, and they will say, to preserve what's left of the president's legacy, he has got to resign now. And to show you that we mean it, if he does not, we are prepared to invoke the 25th Amendment on presidential succession.
Well, hold on here. What did you just say? Do you think that President Joe Biden, even status quo with him not doing much, but doing nothing horrible, to my understanding, is going to be pulled out of office? And it's Dr. Jill Biden, his wife, that's going to be in charge of that?
I think that a delegation of White House staffers and the cabinet members will go see her because she would have the most influence over her husband to suggest that it is time for him to resign. He can use a number of reasons. He's almost 80. He can use health reasons. I mean, we all know that he's not shown himself particularly well. He has shown definite signs. Watch this in my mother. He has shown definite signs of what are being called cognitive difficulties, another word for the onset of dementia. And, of course, that's just the stuff we've seen in public. Who knows what's happened in the Oval Office? I firmly believe that there will be such an effort made and that she might be receptive to it. Because I don't think there's any way he wins a renomination. No, I do not. I mean, he's just not delivered on what the left wants, and increasingly the left calls the shots in the party, no. And as far as Kamala Harris is concerned, I mean, she's been a disaster for the Democrats. She has accomplished nothing. She has been, at best, I suppose, inoffensively inane. I don't think that she will be on the ticket. I think that certainly the usual suspects from 2020 will run again, Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Pete Buttigieg, number of those folks who ran before, I think, will run, and they'll probably wind up on the ticket. Hillary is a wild card. She's got a great personal following, and a lot of people feel a great personal loyalty to her, going back not only to 2016 but to 2008, when they lost their hearts to this this young guy from Illinois named Obama, but they really felt terrible about it. She might run. Running as a pragmatic alternative to the left, I would make an interesting race.
Jim, we literally have 20 seconds left. Since we're talking about this, Trump going to run again?
Yeah, I didn't think he would, but I think he will. He'll get the Republican nomination, and he is the Republican most likely to lose.
Really? Oh, my gosh. Oh, now we're out of time. How can you say that and we're out of time? You can hear Jim explain what he just talked about from 1 to 4 a.m., every night, or just about every night, right here at 720 WGN. Jim Bohannon, Happy New Year, and
Happy
thank
New
you
Year.
For joining us.
Thank you.